Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak only the things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. And so if at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say, whether those comments are favorable or not, we'd like to hear from you. If you maybe have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you've been studying, and you would like to submit it to us in order for us to deal with it and study it on the program, certainly let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, in the practical theology, which seems like dominates our egocentric world, Jesus has been reduced to the position of a vending machine, or maybe like a genie in a bottle. See, many churches encourage participation in their religious acts for purely selfish and materialistic reasons. Preachers, they treat Jesus as if he were just an errand boy. He's obligated to deliver everything that they demand. And true, too, also, in our current religious tendencies, the humanity of Jesus is emphasized so much that his divinity disappears. Many recent books are designed to present new definitions of a Jesus. A Jesus who is more human, a Jesus who is less perfect, and a Jesus who is less divine. Friends, we urgently need to get back to the book that reveals the true characteristics of Jesus, in order that we might admire his greatness and his glory. We don't need to bring Jesus down to our level, because he already did that when he came to this earth in human form. Notice with me, if you will, what we find in the book of Philippians. In chapter 2, let's begin our reading with verse 6. Talking about Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Friends, let us understand that this word God is a family name. It's a family name. And the Father is God, Jesus, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They are the Godhead, the Godhood, the God family. And so as the passage that we've just read, Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. All three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are God. They are divine. They are equal. Not one, but three. And if we can understand that, we ought to be able to understand it from the standpoint of a marriage. When God joins a man and woman together in marriage, they are two, but then in marriage, they are no longer two, but one. But we understand that that means that they're twos, individuals, but yet they are now, in a sense, one. The same is true with God. He is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. They are one. They are one in agreement. They are one in purpose. They are one, but yet three separate individuals. It's a fatal error to imagine that Jesus is equal to us, or to even think that he occupies a position that's almost equal to ours. Friends, our hope of salvation depends on giving Jesus the respect that he rightly deserves. We should honor Jesus in the same way that we honor the Father. Listen to what we read in John 5. Verse 23, Jesus said, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. See, Jesus deserves the honor owed to the Father because he shares the same nature, deity. He is God. And we see that in John 1, in verse 1. He was described as the Word when John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, see, the distance between Jesus and us is the difference between the eternal Creator and the fleshly creature. We were brought into existence, but Jesus always existed. We're human beings created by God. Jesus is God who created us. And as our Creator, he deserves worship. He deserves reverence, and he deserves obedience. You know, Jesus tried to correct a very gross misunderstanding of the Jews there in the first century when he affirmed his own deity in John 8 and verse 24. He identified himself as "I am." Notice that. John chapter 8, notice reading verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Now, "I am." That's how Jesus identifies himself. And that same description, if you'll recall, is the description that God used when he spoke to Moses. 1,500 years before Jesus made this statement in John 8 and verse 24, we have Moses and God talking. And there in Exodus, the third chapter, notice verses 13 and 14. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I came to the children of Israel and said to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So to remove all doubt about the meaning of his words, Jesus made a contrast between himself and to Abraham. Abraham died 1,800 years ago when Jesus was making the statement to these Jews. The Jews, they did not accept this teaching about Jesus' eternity. They questioned, they rejected his claims. And we read all about that. Let's turn over to John chapter 8 and begin our reading at verse 56. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. See, they weren't trying to kill some crazy man because he thought he had been born 2,000 years ago. They tried to kill a man who claimed to be eternal. And therefore, by virtue of being eternal, being divine, being deity, being God. You know, the language that Jesus used in what we just read is parallel to a similar claim that's made over in the Old Testament. And I believe that this comparison reinforces our understanding of Jesus' role as a creator. Moses wrote in Praise to God, Psalms 90 and verse 2, "Behold, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Another verse we need to look at, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him," that is Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." See, before the universe came into existence, the eternal God already existed. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's why when you go back to the book of Genesis and read about the creation, notice it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said," in all of these days in which there was creation. And then, notice when we get down to the day, the sixth day, when God created man, notice the expression that is made. Verse 26, "God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." See, the pull, God didn't say, "Let me make man in my image, after my likeness." The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were there in the beginning. God was there. The family was there. And so rightly the statement is made, "Let us make man." See, before Abraham came into existence, Jesus, the eternal God, already existed. If Jesus' claim is false, he's nothing more than a blasphemer. He deserves to be totally rejected. And in that case, the Jews would be justified in their crucifying. But if he spoke the truth, Jesus deserves to be honored as the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth. And this is what the scriptures affirm. Jesus was there at the creation, and he created all things. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 that we've already read. The book of Revelation, Jesus is identified as the Lamb who receives worship from the multitude in heaven and on earth. "For worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let him be worshipped as our Redeemer." But our reasons for worshiping Christ go all the way back before creation itself into eternity. Jesus deserves to be honored because he is God. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.